Thank you. Good morning. I feel like over the past couple months, we have had so many good teachings that are taking me, so like, I'm still trying to apply this. I'm still trying to do the sound mind. I'm still trying to put on the armor of God. And I know you don't get it in 1 week, but like, they're so good. I'm still trying to live unoffended. And it's like, I'll like remember one of them. You know, like, because when I get them, I'm like, man, I'm ready. This week, I'm going to do this. And then you're kind of like, wait, what were the good points? And the walking it out in the day in. And so part of me, you know, I feel like I'm still trying to like gather the past 2 to 3 months of some super powerful, I'm an earthen vessel, but I'm going to get filled. But I think today's kind of falls in line in some of the walking out of what we have been receiving. So I feel kind of good about that. In some ways, this should not be an add to the list. This is a responding to what our hearts are going, yes, Lord, this is what I want to do. So I like that for myself, even a person who wants to walk out and apply. Good news. Today, you just get to keep taking in and just say yes. My desire is to get my thoughts clear enough to talk about a topic I love. This is a verse and a theme about Jesus that easily gets me excited. And some of my favorite times are being in a living room or being on a stage singing and finding new revelations together and talking about the way Jesus feels about us and going back and forth. Those are some of my favorite things to do. So my desire is to get it clear so I can actually share what I love. Hopefully it comes out that way. I'm going to pray one more time, and then we'll dive in. Father, I thank you for the way you feel about your son, Jesus, even now, and how glad you are to tell us and exalt him to us. Even though we are simple people, we have access to the most beautiful, most worthy man. We ask even today that you would give us greater understanding. Let our hearts grow a little more in love. Let us embrace a life of faith a little more. Would you use my words to make your son glorified? Cause our hearts to burn. We say yes to this life of faith, and we say yes to believing in some things that we can't see, and we know he is beautiful and he is worth it. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to start Psalm 45, verse 10. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him. So we first have the call to listen, consider, and incline. We are told 3 ways to posture our heart in attentiveness. Listen, consider, and incline your ear. So the part that strikes me first is, why do I have to be told to listen? Like, and why am I prone to ebb and flow in being quick to listen and having a heart that is tender? You know, you think of it, we've just gone through 9 verses of the Father declaring the beauty of Jesus. Like, this is ripe and ready. We have just been convinced how glorious he is. And yet I know for my own self, I can be prone to be slow to listen or uncomfortable to listen. You know, I ebb and flow in seasons, but the fact that there is a charge, listen, consider, and incline. And point B, I have the one speaking is the kindest, wisest, most encouraging, most accurately seeing man. In Psalm 45, we have had 9 verses with the Father speaking of his love and adoration of the Son, and now we are told to listen to him. So what are arenas in our life that hinder our ability to listen and hear? And I just kind of gathered what I know is more true of me. So I'm going to use those as my points for today. Shame and condemnation. We don't want to listen to the Lord because we think he will talk to us like we talk to ourselves. We are hindered in hearing the voice of Jesus because we give ear to other voices. Shame is listening to the voice of the accuser, and we only have so much bandwidth or capacity to listen. The question is what we are listening to. We are aware of our weaknesses, shortcomings, and failures. Often we don't think we are beautiful, and our insecurities open up doors to listen to the accuser. Unfortunately, we end up projecting our own insecurities and the voice of the accuser onto the Lord. I find that sometimes subtle shame, it's really honestly more the subtle than it is the loud, that slow me or pull me back from just leaning quickly in. It's like, I know I didn't use a good tone just then. I'm driving and I'm not like, oh, Holy Spirit, here I am. You're just like, you know, because it actually holds us back. And so for me, that would be one. And the accuser just jumps on it nice and, you know, like I wouldn't want to talk to you either. Whatever, those little ways that can hold us from being quick to lean in. Busyness. Wait, the first sentence? You mean paragraph or sentence?
Just that first sentence.
We don't want to listen to the Lord, yeah, because we think he will talk to us like we talk to ourselves. Yeah, I mean, I know too, this is also not a blatantly clear thought that I have. I do kind of go, this is probably how God is going to talk to me right now. So before I even give him a chance, I just keep going. And I'm going to hold off. I'm so tempted to want to, like, give the solutions, but I have that coming up. It's hard to just linger in, like, the bad. Here we are. But there's hope. And help. Okay, so shame, condemnation. Busyness takes us slowing down to listen. In our busyness, we can go days or weeks without slowing down enough to consider him, what he is thinking, to ask him what he is thinking. We must be intentional to listen, and busyness can rob moments of hearing his voice and hearing his words. We are much more like Martha than we care to admit and are far too easily distracted with many things. I know I'm talking to a room that knows this, that is waging war against this in a culture that is going so fast, but is still there. I'm still, you know, to me it's busyness in body, but busyness in mind. It's both. It's the clutteredness in our mind, and that slows me down from making space. Like, we really only have so much room to take in. And so sometimes we're just to the top, and that slows us down from having an ear to listen. So that would be true of me. And then it can be busyness of actual pace. Like, sometimes I just need to sit down. But sometimes it's all in here. I can be driving and listening. Sometimes I listen really good when my hands are moving. I'm one of those types of people. Like, folding laundry, I can take in really well. But it's, if I'm busy inside, no. So, busyness. C, fear. Anxiety of what he will say and require of us can keep our hearts from leaning into what he wants to say. We think, I know what he's going to say next. Forget your own house. And I fear I will fail at responding to his invitation. We often step into accusing God of being a harsh taskmaster. If we see him as harsh, why would we want to hear what he has to say? I have done Psalm 45 as a worship of the word lots and lots. I love it. And so I'm really familiar with this passage now. And I can find when it comes time to do the cycle, listen, O daughter, you're like, ah, here it comes. Not always. But there is that feeling of he's about to say, forget your own house. He's about to say, here's the cross. And there are times in my life I don't want to slow down and listen because I'm like, you're going to say it again, you know, but it comes from, I am actually not seeing the full picture of the heart of Jesus. Again, I'm projecting on him. It's like, I know what you're going to do. You're probably going to ask more than I can give you. And I'm really, really weak and I'm scared. So I'd rather not talk to you. before we have the conversation. It's just like it slows you down from listening. And Satan loves to jump all over that and try to make it more real. I have in here the parable of the talents. And you guys know this parable. But this is a powerful story. It says 14, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid. He was afraid. And so he actually was like, I'll take care of it. I'll bury it. And I just feel like I definitely see patterns in my life where I have walked in this and then confronted it. And I feel like Jesus would be like, we didn't even get a chance to talk about it. You decided for me and you took care of it. You were wrong about me. You acted in a way that wasn't true about me. So these would be ways and reasons that we could not be quick to listen. Let's flip to page 2. Good news. We don't have to live in those places. And the Holy Spirit really wants to help. And he likes to help. And he wants us to listen. So I have some things that help me to posture my heart to be a good listener. Point A, know who is talking. When we remind ourselves who is talking, we want to listen. Shame begins to lose its hold. He is the wonderful counselor, the overseer of our soul. He knows our frame, our strengths, and our weaknesses. I mean, even like right now when I do this, you can feel this like, oh yeah, fall on you. You're like, I forgot. Even if you remembered yesterday, you're like, I came to you with a baggage that was, you just like, it didn't take a lot. But oh yeah, his burden is easy. His yoke is light. This is the one who began a work in us, a good work in us, and he is able to complete it. I love how the Lord's Prayer starts with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like, I love it because generally I come in prayer like, I got a big burden and I'm ready. And also Philippians says this, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And I feel like it's like, the Lord knows we have got to stop and do that. And it just so changes. He's like, you still get to talk about the burden. Take 1 second. Father in heaven, that's who you're talking to. Did you forget that? Your Father, who's a good Father, who loves to give good gifts. And it's just like you find yourself going, okay, I actually want to listen. I want to pray. I feel my accusations are falling down against you. So I think what surprises me is how many times I still have to do this. You know, like even in one day, like, oh yeah, I remember. Oh, you are for me. You know my frame. And then you do pray and it's like, wow, we got in a good spot. And it could just be like 2 hours later and you're like, ee. And you're like, I don't think I need to do it again. You know, I think I do. So I find, though, a little reminding goes a long way, but a lot of reminding is needed to remember who we're talking to. And I mean, just think, too, the accuser of the brethren is just, if he had his way, he will just rail against the truth of who God is and who we're talking to. But what shocks me is like a little pause and reflection of who he is. And I'm like, oh, no. No, I know who he is. He is my shepherd. And I got a lot of stories about that. And you know what? I can listen to him. He will not ask more than he will give the grace to walk out. So you're like, I want to hear. You know, it changes the posture so fast. B, repent for listening to the accuser. I actually love this. I love when it gets clear what you can repent for, because it just gets, oh man, you just like loose a a thing that's binding you. Like, you're like, so when it's clear to me, oh, you got an accusation, well, let's repent for it, because it's not true. Or I was in the wrong, let's break it. So when we find ourselves actively not listening, we can repent and realign. Simple but powerful phrases can do a lot. We must not listen to the accuser and replace the lie with truth. Simple prayers. These are prayers that I pray. Simple prayers I like to pray are, I want to have ears to hear you. I'm sorry for accusing you of being too harsh. I am here to listen. I love when you speak to me. And these are like, I live off simple prayers, guys. I really do. But they do a ton. Simple prayers do a ton, and simple accusations do a ton. You know, those little mantras can, they can go one way or the other. And I am a firm believer of how powerful they are. So these little phrases are a way to posture our heart in listening over and over. And it's like so doable. You can do it anywhere. No one has to know you're doing it. You know, you can pray these things walking from one place to the next. But I like them specifically for realigning. For realigning, especially when I feel that I've already gotten out of line. And I'll just say an accusation that I have to confront and have become pretty aggressive with confronting, that Satan loves to just bring at me, is it's too late. It's too late. If you were going to have been a good listener, we'll just even say today, you wouldn't have, it's 3 p.m. You haven't asked once, Holy Spirit, what are you thinking? You have been doing your checklist and doing the American thing, and Satan just goes, it's too late. You know, maybe tomorrow, if I'm even having a better day. And I love to just go, it's not too late. That is not Jesus. I kind of get a little excited when I've had a bad day and it's 8 p.m. and I'm like, you know what? I can still turn this around. Here we go. I mean, I wished it wasn't 8 p.m. I do. I would like to do better tomorrow. But, like, I also am like, Jesus, you gave me mercy and the blood. Let's use it. And it feels really good because you stop Satan from kind of having his way. Like, the it's too late lie, I feel really pumped when I'm like, nah, it's not. I mean, it takes some humbling. Because there was a realigning. That's the part. So these little phrases are also the ways that I like to get back to Satan and be like, no, it's not. It feels, I don't feel tender. I don't feel like a good listener. In fact, I haven't been a good listener. I have been accusing the Lord of being too harsh. But I'm turning that thing around right now. He's not. So I these simple prayers, I pray for them. But repent. Repent for listening to the accuser. See, give him space to speak. We must be intentional to make space for him to speak. We can find ourselves running at a pace that is much too fast and busy for a listening ear, a listening heart. Busy in body and in mind, we see that Martha was worried and bothered by many things, and Mary chose the thing that was needed. Even in the midst of serving others and doing good things, we must make space for the one thing that is needed. I find that my capacity is smaller than I would like to admit in order to have a good listening ear. I have to go slower than I like, and I love accomplishing. Like, it feels so good. I love to pop the bubbles on my phone with my task list. It feels just, But sometimes I have to sacrifice and get in a mode that's too busy for the sake of a checklist. And when I find that, I need to choose the thing that's needed. And it really comes down to posturing my heart to listen. But I find, too, that the Holy Spirit is really good at helping us learn and knowing our frames. You know, we're all a little different in this. It doesn't mean every person who is really good at accomplishing is not a good listener. And I just find that the Holy Spirit, or it doesn't mean in a day where I have a lot of tasks to do that I can't be listening. It really has to. So I find the Holy Spirit is pretty good when you invite him in the conversation at going, oh, here's a way that we're being busy. Here's a way you're busy in heart. Or he's helpful. So practical ways that I slow myself down. For you, some of you, this may be helpful. For some of you, you may be like, cool, we learned more about Sarah.
More about ourselves.
I actually love to find when other people are like, oh, yeah, this is a way I fellowship with the Lord. This is a way I slow down. You know, it's like different than me, but I just like it's fun, you know, whether it's fishing or something. I left it in my room, but there's this little book I love called Every Moment Holy. Has anyone heard of this book? I got a few. You have, because I told you about it. Man, I love this book. It is a little prayer book. I feel like it's like praying for dummies, but it's way cooler than that. So it has like, and now they've got several different editions because they just keep coming. But there's these little prayers to pray, and they have them themed for moments in life. And there are some of them as like making your morning coffee, or one is like changing a poopy diaper, like paying the bills. I'm trying to remember, seeing a sunset, midday, evening, like, and then they're one page long. And it's so beautiful. Like when you start to pray it, it feels like it helps put the words in your mouth that often you want to pray. Like the paying the bills one is so good. By the time you get to the end, you're like, oh my goodness, I forgot I was like anxious and controlling. Like it walks you through like, Jesus, I give you control. Help me to know how to spend my money. And thank you for providing for all my needs in a much better way than this. And you're like, oh. So I wished I had brought it because I was going to like walk us through one, but I didn't. But Every Moment Holy, I love it. I love to do it because especially my pace of life right now with three teenagers and a toddler, it is busy. Sometimes beautifully busy and sometimes hectically busy. And so sometimes if I get that moment, I'm like, I'm just going to slow down. You're like, huh. Like I'll shut the door in my bedroom and I'm like, hi, God. And I'm seriously like, I don't know. I want to talk to you, but I'm blank. And so I'll open it. And it's like, oh, there's one for serving others. I love this one. Like you end up, I feel like it handholds you. And you're like, if all you got to do is plug your heart into it and believe the words you're saying. And you're like, oh, Jesus, I love you. You're good. And I find so often it can take 5 to 7 minutes, but it redirects my posture from too busy to, oh, wait, I'm living for another age. Like, what matters anyways? You know, it's just like that slap in the face, but a really good one and a hug at the same time. And you're like, oh, I kind of started doing the American thing again. You know, like just getting all frantic about silly. And so I love that book. And it's not that expensive. Amazon has it. Two, I set a 7-minute timer where I pause and pray through a fellowship prayer or the trust prayer. I've done this for years and years. It's like, I say it's like putting myself in timeout. But it's great. I love it. Put me in more timeout. So I'll set my timer for 5 or 7 minutes just so that it's two things. So I actually stop and sit. And sometimes I'm surprised how fast 5 or 7, I just feel like that's a good number for me to breathe in, breathe out. And I'll just, also I like to do this in the most not practical times, just to kind of like give Satan a big, there you go. You know, like we're about to have someone over for dinner and I haven't cleaned the bathroom yet. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do 7-minute timer. And here we go, because I really don't want to lose my way, and I'm about to lose my way. I'm about to not make this about what matters. So I slow down the busyness, which it does lean hand in hand into listening. It really does, because the busyness is when you're like, your internal traffic or whatever isn't making space for him to speak. I find this creates more space to speak, for him to speak. 90-second prayers, honestly, it's probably more like 30-second prayers for me, are one of my favorite powerful alignment tools. I love the power of praying a short prayer. It really is real. Praying it when you're driving, praying it when you're getting dressed. It counts. So the fruit of when we listen. When we listen, we hear the words that give life. As we give ear to the God of the earth, we are filled with vision and hope for the future. We see more accurately as his words change everything. I mean, Clay really hit this a lot when he talked about the with just one word. With just one word, how Jesus can heal, how he gives grace. When we slow down, we get to hear the words that are powerful. John, this is supposed to be John 6, not Jane, Jan. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words that give life, that last forever. B, we are equipped to stand against Satan's accusations. Listening is our weapon to fight darts of doubt and despair. Hearing and receiving the words of Jesus are one way we can put on the armor of God. There is profound safety for us in hearing his voice. I have to remind myself that. This is safe, really safe. And words are really powerful. He is so safe to go and listen to. It works. That's why I put it. It really works. It's hearing his voice, hearing his words really works. We know this verse, Ephesians 6. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place. That's a lot of what I've been saying as far as truth. Let's go to page 3. Verse 10. Forget your own people and your father's house. So we have the call to listen, to incline. And he gives the call, forget your own people. The instruction given is to forget your own people and your father's house. This is a big invitation requiring a radical response. He is asking for wholeheartedness. To count as loss means to deliberately consider something worthless compared to something far greater. For Paul, knowing Christ surpasses any worldly success, religious merit, or personal accomplishments. And I think this really just goes with a lot of what I've been saying, is when you slow down and you go, I'm living for a different age. Like, that's what I want to do. But am I, you know, they're listen and respond. So it's sometimes it's a small realignment and sometimes it's a bigger one. I'm going to keep going. The king will greatly desire your beauty. As he is giving the invitation to forget her own people, the father quickly declares, the king greatly desires your beauty. This is why she is being asked to forsake all. Jesus will empower us to respond to this call by affirming our beauty over and over as we are growing in maturity. This truth is so amazing, and yet it is easy to overlook and miss. I remember doing worship with the words with this, and it was like I got... It gave me great joy and excitement, too, when we'd go, the king greatly desires your beauty. And I would go, because he wants you. Like, this is the reason why he is saying, come. He's asking a big ask. But he's asking because he wants you. And that would, I just would feel like fear would lose its hold on me. Like, that's different. That's different than just, hey, we got a cross. Let's go. I'm like, because he desired, do you feel that in the call? And I want to grow in understanding that more and more. And I feel like the people who I want to be like have been consumed with that. They're talking like, no, what are you talking about? The cost I gave, I have nothing. I've given nothing compared to what he is. You know, I feel that. I'm like, oh, I want to know that more. It just goes against the grain of what the world is saying. B, he uses the phrase greatly desire. Why? To say the king will greatly desire your beauty is not sufficient to express his desire. We need the revelation of the king who greatly desires. We see this affirmation all throughout the Song of Songs. We see the heart of the king who greatly desires his bride in each of the 8 chapters. Over and over, the king declares his love and her beauty while she is growing in maturity. In my younger years, I remember like in meetings, church meetings, where there would be maybe a prophetic person coming and they'd start calling out people. And I just would always be like, please call me out. Please have a word for me. And I never got called out. I'm like the person, I'm the person who never gets the raffle ticket, who never, you know, it's just kind of me. It's okay. It's most of us, probably. That's what they say. But and there are like some people that just consistently get it. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's not me. But like, man, I would hope so high. I'd be like, please pick me. And then when I first moved here, I remember praying Ephesians 1, like, so please. And I, Father of glory, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I'm pretty much picturing one expression of this. An angel is going to show up. Or maybe I'm going to have like something huge. A dream that is crazy, evident. Or I'm going to see something. And I have a really vivid memory of being like, I love you so much. Do this. And it didn't happen. Or the being in the meetings and like holding my breath, like, please call me, please call me. And like everyone else gets the words and it's like, God loves you and you're going to do great things for him. And, you know, so I remember though, a shift started to happen for me when it wasn't like a one-day shift. I think it was as I started, one, singing truths about how God felt about me, and I started studying Song of Songs, and then saying these little phrases and singing these little phrases, and I was like, I think this is better. I want to say, and I wouldn't say better, but the desire and the pain went away of why am I not getting called? Because there was like a pain. Why don't I get, like, it's like, I know that you love me, God, but it feels like you love them better. Because they're getting told, from, you know, they're getting the big word or the big dream. And I'm left trying to like do this, you know? And it felt like, so when I started realizing that the longing was starting to get met with simple phrases and simple songs, and it didn't really matter if anyone else saw it or said it, because I got it. It's starting to rearrange the way I saw myself, which, man, that is priceless. And that's not guaranteed when someone gives you the word from the platform. You still have to do the work. You still have to choose to agree or not agree how God feels about you. And the more I started, like, and I'm just saying, like, little phrases, you know? Like, the first time that I'm dark but lovely actually kind of came into real life for me. And you're like, this is very big. The Lord would say, you overwhelm me with one glance. And I'm like, but I did that. I gave you a glance. You're saying you feel that way about me. And you pause and you think on it, and then you feel I matter to God. The ache of going, he doesn't speak to me. Does he speak to me? You start going, he speaks. He speaks. So, it has been, and I just want to say one thing. I love all the ways he speaks. I love, and actually now when I'm in meetings and there's like powerful prophetic things happening, I don't feel the pain. I feel joy. It's fun, especially if it's like a friend of yours and you're like, oh my goodness, that's so true. You know, like, how did they know that? Like, it's cool. It's fun, but it's not a threat to me anymore. It is not a message of whether or not I matter to God, because I am getting it. I'm hearing it. And I love when people have the dreams and they share the dreams. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's so cool. Like, I'm falling in love with Jesus more by you telling me your dream. Or they have the encounters. Like, my dreams are, like, not that. They're really simple and small. I'm like, it was so cool. Like, God said he liked me. They're But I just want to say I love the expressions, all the expressions, and I think they're real. And who knows? Maybe in my later years, dreams and visions, I may get slammed in a way I've never expected. You know, I'm going to. But I don't know if it's going to be better than what I'm doing, because I'm loving what I'm doing. So I'm going to go through. Let's go to the next. The king expresses desire. An affirmation of her beauty seen in Song of Songs. So there are there's a lot that I could pull out from, but I'm just gonna pick four phrases, four truths in Song of Songs that we can grab, which would be the king desiring our beauty. We have the new immature believer. We see how Jesus encourages and affirms the new and immature believer even in weakness. Here the bride experiences her first spiritual crisis and her first confession of faith. The bride says in Song of Songs, "I am dark, dark of heart with sinful desires, but I am lovely, covered in the work of the cross, and have sincere intentions to obey Jesus." This is so good. Here we see the counseling shepherd who compassionately teaches the way forward in our weakness. We can hear Jesus saying back to us, "You are dark, but lovely. I see you covered in the work of my Son. I see your willing spirit even more than you do." This truth happens very, very early in the book of Song of Songs, where she has done nothing for him, really. And she gets told, "You're dark, but you are lovely." I mean, you are lovely. You are lovely for lots of reasons. But the what helps me, too, when you go, "But I didn't do lovely things." Well, there's one. We've got the cross that defines us. And we've said yes to it. And that is everything. So Jesus looks and goes, "I see that." But he also sees the desire in us that's mixed in with the immaturity. And he goes, "I know, but I also know you want to grow up. You want me." And he sees farther than we see often. He sees in a way. So there's this truth, let me exhale and be with Jesus. In process, without, "I'm so sorry." Like, not that I'm so sorry for my sins, but "I'm so sorry. This is who you have to see." Because I would find myself, and he's going, "I think you are lovely." And you're like, "But I am really working out a lot of things right now." And he's like, "I'm not on that timeline that you're on." And to be able to feel enjoyed in the process. And I mean, I got to keep holding on to it and keep returning to it and extending it for others changes everything. And I probably don't even know how much, you know, it just keeps getting richer and deeper. So this truth, we can hear him saying back to us, "You are dark, but you are lovely. Listen, oh daughter, consider," what is he saying? Turn to page 4. The next one I'm going to go to is Song of Songs 2. "Let me see your face and hear your voice. Your voice is sweet, your face is lovely." This truth is shown in the story when Jesus comes to Peter after he denied Jesus 3 times. As Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" I mean, sometimes I try to put myself in that situation. First off, you have to face Jesus. And the last time you saw him, he was around the fire and he heard you. He heard you say, "I don't know him." And now he's engaging in conversation. And I would just be like, "Can we not? Like, go on and you can forget about me." But he's locking eyes. He's locking eyes with those eyes that are like, "I know you. And I'm talking to you. We're going to stay in this conversation." And this is the Jesus that we have inside. This same Jesus that had that conversation with Peter and knows the human heart is having conversations with us. and knows our heart. He says, "Do you love me?" Peter answering, "You know that I love you." He asked him three times. I mean, I think the second time I'd be like, stop. Like, can we get on with this? But Jesus knew Peter had to, he needed to answer it three times. He needed to answer it. Jesus wasn't asking because he needed to hear it. Peter needed to walk through it. And we need to do that. We need to do that with our own hearts. And Jesus, I love you. On your days that you feel like you might have not done it great. And that's powerful. Okay. I'm gonna go on. So, that was the other point, wasn't it? Yes, that was. That was still dark but lovely. I'm sorry. Now, let me see. But they do go hand in hand. His way of affirming while giving invitation. In chapter 2, the bride is asked to arise and go up the mountain. This is the first time in the story where suddenly the shepherd is asking something uncomfortable. Up until then, it's been like, I love you. You are great. Here, have some fruit. Doesn't it taste good? And then he comes and he's like, hey, so I'm really excited. We got a mountain. Don't worry. It's going to be great. I leap over them. I skip over them. And she's like, oh, no. No, 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 no. This is not, no, no, no. Like, and so, but when he comes, I mean, he comes excited. He comes and he knows she's terrified. She's scared. She's like, I do not have this in me. But in the middle, he is just left and right affirming her with courage. And in this, I love this verse. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Like that is... When you hear that, you know, when you feel the wrestle of God asking something of you that feels too hard, usually I'm struggling to talk to him. Partly because I'm like, I can't do this. I'll talk to you when I know if I can do this. I'll come back to you when I'm brave and courageous. Until then, which is really what happens in chapter 2. But he says, let me see your face and let me hear your voice. This verse, like, it dispels all my reasons why I can't talk to God. On any day, it, because he says, your voice is sweet, your face is lovely. Like, this verse has given me courage so many times when I'm like, okay, you say that you want to see my face right now and hear my voice, but I am not sure, I'm not sure about a lot of things. I'm not sure what I'm going to give to you. I'm working it out big time. When I remember that he says, your voice is sweet, your face is lovely, and then shortly after this is when he says, one glance overwhelms me, there's this, I can do that, that comes in my heart. I can do that. Like, if that's how you are, I can do that. I'm not sure about the mountain, but I could let you see my face and hear my voice. Because, and this is the part, because your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. In the process of all of the dynamics that you're working out, this makes me want to pray. And this makes me want to hear his voice. Let's go to D, his way of affirmation while we return and repent. In chapter 4, we see how Jesus responds after a season of compromise and repentance. So basically, he invites her up the mountain. She says no. And then she's like, oh, that didn't go very well. He left. I don't like him leaving. And then she decides, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm going to arise. So she does. And then she doesn't hear him say anything, but she has resolved. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to face it, face the mountain. But she hasn't heard anything. So when he does speak, the first thing he says, after a season of her turning and then repenting, the first words he says to her are, you are fair. You're beautiful, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes, which is kind of like so funny because she said no. And then she came back. You have spiritual eyes of discernment and wisdom. You're steady like a dove. Jesus reminds us of the way he sees us, washed in the blood of his son and with a sincere reach for God. The Lord cherishes us by affirming our willing spirit. He esteems our longing for victory. He does not see like man sees. He doesn't define us by our external struggle. We typically define our lives by our spiritual struggles, which would be the Peter story again. If you defined him by his external, he looked pretty good and just done for. But Jesus came back. He said, "Do you love me?" He sees more than just our failures. "Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes." And I know this is the way of Jesus, but we got to listen to hear it. We got to listen. I want to be listening a lot, because this is the way he puts courage in us. This is the way he will put courage in his bride. So we slow down so we can hear the words that give us courage. He sees and he talks like no one. And the more we get that, the more we start to talk like him. And then I loved how Diane said last week, we get to be little Jesuses walking around. We got to be little Jesuses talking and walking and acting, you know. We get this. First, it changes us. And then we get to give it to others and remind, this is what he's like. And it's powerful when we do that to each other. The last one, his overflowing heart as she grows in partnership and faith. After a season of trial and persecution in chapter 5, the bride grows in love. So she grows in her maturity as the chapters go on. And in this part, before I get to, she's going through persecution and testing. And he's left, so he's not there. And she, the younger ones are saying, tell us about your beloved. Like, it's not looking very good for you. Why is he this good? And she goes off on who he is, but his presence is not near. But her love is maturing. And so let me keep going. Even though the presence of the bridegroom has left for a time, she is filled with great affection and love for him. She goes on to tell others how beautiful Jesus is and how worthy he is of our love. It is after this season, Jesus breaks the silence and gives this declaration. He says, "Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners." He praises her arm and lets her know how he feels about her in the midst of trials. We can be sure, as we go through testing and trials, our love for Jesus is very precious and costly, and a costly gift we can give to him. He is overwhelmed by our weak but growing love. So he doesn't speak for a while when she's going through it, but then he does. And he says, "You are as awesome as an army with banners, as beautiful." These examples are like the highest of the highest. Like Tirzah was like the most beautiful place, and Jerusalem. And then the banners is like when you come out of war and you're victorious, you would have those. And he's saying, and then after this, he goes, "Again, turn away, you've overwhelmed me. Like, it is so beautiful what you've given in secret. I have seen it. You did not know. You didn't feel my presence, but you were overwhelming me. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline." Because he has, throughout the seasons, he has so much affirmation to give us. And I'm just going to end it with this. The way, when we hear his words, it can help redefine how we're seeing our experiences and our success. Are we doing it well? Are we not doing it well? What does he say? Is it counting? Is it not counting? When we listen, we get to be reminded and we get courage. We get courage to stay steady. We get courage to live a life of faith. We get courage to do things in secret. We get courage to forgive because he sees it and he counts it, and it moves him. Like, he is the easiest one to move in affection. And when I feel that, then I want to do it again. If it's working, if a glance does it, works. If you say I'm dark but lovely, then I think I got a chance. You know? I mean, it is incredibly small and weak. But if you're happy and you like me, I could keep doing that. I could keep coming back. I can listen to your words and say them back. I can stop listening to the lies Like there's, it empowers the weak. His words empower the weak. And this is his way. Like I am more sure than ever. This is his way, how he's going to strengthen his bride. It's not going to be as much yelling, go, go, go. He will put courage as we get confident, but we have to listen and hear and respond. And it's in our hearts. It's what we want to do. We want to give him wholeheartedness and keep listening. So I'm going to pray and close us up. Do you have anything else you want to say? Okay. Psalm 45. It's good. Jesus, here we are. The same one who spoke to Peter. We want our own conversations. Jesus, I ask that you would make us ones that know your voice so well, that we would not be ones with hard hearts, but we would be ones with tender hearts. We say you are not a harsh taskmaster. You do not ask too much of us. You do have words of grace and truth. And you know the words that each of us need in our frames and our stories, our trip-up points, our lenses of seeing life. You know the words that we need. And we just validate how powerful your words are. And we say, your ways are way better than the ways of the world. Help us to be ones with a tender heart that is not too busy. Help us to not finish sentences for you. We'll let you speak for yourself. I ask this week for moments that would move things and shift things in all of our hearts, that we would feel the way you feel and hear what you're saying over us in our reaches, in our not quitting, in our coming back, in our realigning at 7:30 p.m. Let us feel how that moves you. And let us do that for others. Let us be gentle while others are growing around us. Let us be quick to affirm what is still budding and maturing. Jesus, we are so glad that you are not like man, that you're better, that you do not see the way man sees, and you do look at the heart. We want to learn more. Amen.